Welcome to Inspiring Business with your host, Mark Bullock, who is the co-founder of VideoSocials.net and of VideoInterviewPodcast.com. In every episode, Mark interviews business and organizational thought leaders who share their stories of how they inspire others by making a difference. You can find this show on VideoSocials.net and YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and almost any podcast platform of your choosing.
Welcome. So glad to have you. And I have a special guest for you today, and that's Ivy Slater. Ivy is a professionally certified coach and bestselling author of two books, Conquering Your Fear of Money, A Woman's Guide to Business Success, and From the Bar to the Boardroom, Choreographing Business Success Through Authentic Relationships, and another book coming out a little later this year. She is the CEO of Slater Success. We could go on for days. She is a TEDx speaker, and she has a wonderful podcast called Her Success Story. Welcome, Ivy. It's great to have you.
Mark, I'm so thrilled to be here with you.
It's terrific. And I always like to start with, you were referred to be on the podcast by Andrea Vaca. We've both known Andrea for a long time. You know my business partner, Vic, et cetera. We haven't met before now, but I kind of love doing this because we get to know each other in the process. We're sharing, getting to know each other with our audience. So I always like to start with, though, you know, what's your story? You know, what inspired you to do what you do, to be who you are, and what inspired and continues to inspire you about what you provide?
You know, it's interesting because I started this company, Slater Success, in January of 08. Mm-hmm. And in April of 07, I hate to say it, I had the classic, the cliche midlife crisis at 45. You know, I hit the wall. It was the month of my birthday, April. It was actually the anniversary of my father passing, April. Like everything April just was April. And, you know, I felt like I hit the brick wall. I said, what am I doing? I was running a very successful printing company that I had built and grown multiple seven figures. And it's interesting because Mark, you and I were just chatting. I was making really good money and it meant nothing. It meant absolutely nothing. And I said, you know, when I was young, I was a dancer. I danced till I was 23 when I blew out my knee. And I had a passion. I had a drive. I could do it. You know, if my mother asked me as a kid, like, do the dishes, I was doing, like, you know, tendus as I was doing dishes. I was doing pliés as I was setting the table. It's like, that's what I did all the time because that's who I was all the time. Right. And I was like, I'm a printer. And I said, something has to change. Something, there has to be fulfillment in my life, purpose in my life, drive in my life. I have to have excitement again. And I was, for the New Yorkers who are listening, I was at the time in Carlsbad Park at the end of the day, working out with a friend and crying my eyes out. Okay. Walking lunges and crying. And I was like, what am I going to do? My kids are getting older. They're going to be out of the house before I know it. And who am I going to be? I'm going to be a printer. I could probably curse for my old, you know, years of the printing plan, and I won't. I said, there has to be more. And she just looked at me and she goes, you ought to do like coaching. I said, you want me to coach soccer? And she goes, no. I said, you know, I can't dance anymore. I can't do a full plie from my knee. And she goes, no, there's this whole industry. I said, what are you talking about? I went home, I hit Google. And I said, what is coaching? And I got soccer. I got tennis. This is 07, Mark. So it was a long time ago, right? I got fencing. And on page 3, it said something about like professional coaching. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, can I be a professional? I don't know. Can a printer be a professional? I had all these questions. And again, I was a printer, so I worked with marketing and advertising departments. So I went out, I was like, market research is, so I started calling every person I knew to, you know, within, who might know some information. I said, is this a career? Is this an industry? Is this a business that actually can pay a bill? We had two kids, mm-hmm. you know, college on the horizon. I was asking really good questions, I thought. I had a meeting. This was wild. I had a meeting with my attorney. I used to do an annual meeting with my attorney and my accountant after taxes. So it was about the end of April, early May. And I said, listen, I'm doing some research. I'm thinking of jumping industries and building a business and this and that. My attorney said, that's interesting. My accountant stood up and started yelling at me. He goes, who do you think you are? You don't know how much money you make. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what college costs. And I was like, whoa, cut it. My attorney looked at me and he said, I think I have a client who did something just like this. Do you want to talk to him? My accountant was fired within the year. Mm-hmm. My attorney, I'm still very close to. Mm-hmm. And again, it was just part of this market research. I started building this company without truly knowing what I was doing. And mm-hmm. I then also started, by June of that year, I started a succession plan to exit myself out of Slater Graphics, my printing company, by 2010.
And, you know, fast forward, because I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. It's like we come from completely different backgrounds, different educations, et cetera, et cetera. I had a midlife crisis right around the same age, right about the same time. And, you know, I sat down and literally wrote, you know, just journaled for myself. And the biggest question that I kept asking myself is, what do I want to be when I grow up? Because I had a very successful career. I built a successful consultancy practice in IT, and that's a massive, you know, education treadmill to get to the top of that game. Bottom fell out, you know, so that was my impetus. It wasn't so much that it's different from what you're talking about, but basically we were in the same place at around the same time. Yeah. And that place is that I am living an unfulfilling career, and what do I want to do? And I literally, it's when I developed my mission statement, which is I make a difference for those who make a difference in the world. And that's been my driver ever since. And I can't say that I'm, you know, anywhere near what I'd like to be, you know, as far as a financial success yet, but the fulfillment that I have in making a difference in those that I serve, and really taking on the being of service rather than being the smartest guy in the room, you know, when it came to information technology. Right. So
it's interesting what you're saying, because, you know, I started this journey in 07 when I started the transition to open the company mm-hmm. in 08. Printing started imploding later in 08, right?
You had really good timing, but you didn't know it yet.
Well, my former business partner said, what crystal ball did you read that I didn't? He goes, hold on a second. I was lucky. I can't say, oh, I was all part of the plan, because that's not true. I was lucky. I was very lucky. Yet, when in this transition and the importance. So you and I were chatting a bit before, and we're both, you know, in this stage. I just became a grandma, and, you know, my friends are like, so like, what's your plan? I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like retirement. I'm like, why? And they're like, what do you mean why? I'm like, why would I stop? I said, I absolutely love what I do. I look forward to getting up. I look forward to, I'm excited after this interview, I'm going to meet a client. I'm like so excited to see her. I'm excited in everything I'm doing. This is the greatest retirement of my life, and I'm making money. And as you said, Mark, I'm making a difference. You know, every day in everything I do, if I can, and I write every day, I'm like, I continuously make an impact. I leave a legacy that I'm helping people. I'm being, the bar to the boardroom. The whole idea of choreographing business success through authentic relationships is about the value of building the relationships, because that's the golden nugget. That's the real gold. Your money will come from there. Don't worry about it. And your fulfillment, your life will have so much more when you see that.
And more fulfilling and more engagement and more, doesn't it really come to, I mean, for me, it really comes down to relationships.
Yeah.
You know, it's I'm not doing what I'm doing because, you know, it's going to turn X amount of profit or it's going to build a system. You know, I'm a systems guy. We're scaling now. So, you know, that's really coming back into value in what we're doing.
And systems are our friend. I like a good system. Yeah,
absolutely. But the systems are in support of people.
Correct.
Right. It's in our case, it's in service of our clients and our members of Video Socials, et cetera, that we have the service and for our staff and for everything else. So, but it's all in, I was interviewing somebody last night because we're growing. You know, she was kind of feeding back to me as we were having a conversation because I'm completely transparent with everything. I gave up being, trying to impress people.
I agree with you there. Hands down.
So,
I am who I am. You got what you got.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you know, the conversation was around, yeah, I have significant technical expertise. It's aging out a bit now. You know, it's building what will be a multi-million dollar, you know, hundreds of clients, et cetera, business model requires a tremendous amount of systemization, process, SOPs, et cetera. And they're just not fun to create, but I'm motivating myself to do it because of the service that it provides to the people that we serve, right? So
yeah, I think it's very important when you're going into your next level of scaling, mm-hmm. that every business foundation has to have, when Mark and I are referring to SOPs, it's systems and procedures. You know, mm-hmm. who knows what your roles are, who's taking care of what your technical, how do things run? Are they documented? Because, you know, the one thing I've learned is man plan, God laughs. And I'm a strategic planner.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I bought a book years ago, one of the early business books I bought because when I opened the book, I'm really dating myself. I was in Barnes & Noble shopping books. I pulled one out of the shelf and I opened it up and it has the quote, man plan, God laugh. I said, I have to buy this book. Now, I do strategic planning. I mean, it's one of the mm-hmm. things I do for my clients. And I had done strategic planning way before I ever started this business. It's who I am by nature. It's how I think. It's how I was raised. It's my mother. It's my sister. I see it in my daughter. It's like it's this female line through our family. We are planners. And when we plan, other things come into play that we never expected. It's just yes. a matter of life. And it's not a bad thing because many often those things we learn from. It actually can take us to the next level. In every obstacle, there is an opportunity. If you don't get thrown by the obstacle to see it. Right. You know, but my point is when you have that God laughs moment, you want to have a good SOP. You want to have good systems in your organization and you want to have your people knowing your systems. So all of a sudden, you know, 2006, when my dad passed away, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, being my father and being a great businessman, he had the decency of doing this on the weekend. I'll always say we do things very well in our family. We manage mm-hmm. to do those crazy things on weekends. You know, my granddaughter was just born on the weekend, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. Right. And, it gives us all of a sudden I stepped out of my business in a moment's notice with a mm-hmm. phone call to my strategic people in my office saying, this happened. I don't know when I'll be back.
Right.
Period. And your business right. has to be, if you don't have those SOPs in place, you can't scale because, you know,
you can't get sick. You can't step away. You can't take a break.
Anybody ever get the flu?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, I mean, forget COVID.
Or COVID, yeah.
Right? Forget
took even me out for, it took me out for a month, yeah.
You get the flu, you're out, you're out a couple of days, you're out a week. But, and you, it doesn't come on schedule. It's not a planned vacation.
Yep, exactly. So I know that one of the themes, and again, we were talking a little bit before, and I was doing some research and looking into your podcast and looking into some of your videos on your YouTube channel, and we'll have links for all of that stuff below. You've got a treasure trove of information that you put out there. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
And but I know one of your focuses has really been the intersection between strategic planning and succession planning, and how that intersects. How does that work?
So a lot of people think about succession planning for retiring, or people in their organization who are going to retire. Mm-hmm. And they think, oh, they're going to give, a year notice or whatever that's going to be, or we'll have a couple of years. And they think that will be that. Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, you and I exited businesses at midlife crises. I was in my prime in my mid-40s.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
There was no, oh, I'm retiring. I wasn't retiring. I had two kids to get through college and then some.
Right.
Okay. Yet I had to create I needed to look at a strategic plan to exit my printing company.
Mm.
Right. In the same way, fortunately and unfortunately, people all of a sudden, top tier management, mid-level management, they shift careers. I know somebody who was just at a very good level in their career and said, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to reinvent myself. This is somebody who is not exiting to retirement. Mm-hmm. It is in their prime. So people shift, change, life happens. And so when I always say we should be doing our strategic plans for our businesses every year, and we should be checking in. We shouldn't just do them and then mm-hmm. file them. We should have an accountability and a system. There's those systems again, Mark. you and I like so much. There should be a system, right? An accountability of checking in to see where we are on our strategic plans, what movements are happening, what we're doing, what has fallen off track. When we do that, we're also looking at building an organization that when we look at our key players, what happens if?
Right.
Their spouse has an opportunity. They're moving to Spain, right? And they're like, okay, I'm not going to work. I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm out. I'm mm-hmm. going to join my spouse,
mm-hmm.
right? We need to be looking in our strategic plans. Always a great leader is always working on replacing themselves and moving people up, working with people who are smarter than them. I know my team is great because yep. they're a hell of a lot smarter than me. They know everything I don't know, hopefully how to work a computer. just kidding. I've learned a lot. so we want to, in our strategic plans, look for where is the team going? Who has what knowledge? How is this knowledge going to be replicated? Who else is going to learn from it? Because what we don't know, we don't know. Don't wait for somebody to say, oh, I'm turning 65. I think I'm going to retire.
Yes. And everything that you just talked about, I mean, we had this twice now where we've had situations where really key members of our team who really helped develop, Vic and I's inventive ideas of phone blogger and video socials and then and now VIP that were really strategic contributors to what we were doing, that suddenly for whatever reasons, family and or massive career opportunity that we just couldn't match at the time, left. And yeah, we get a couple weeks notice, but a couple weeks notice means nothing when you get somebody that the entire service is revolved around their brain. And, it's in a way, it's a little bit of not real sure what to call it, but it has to do with you know, emergency planning or you know, it's contingency planning. I think is has a role or a component of it. Correct?
Yes. It's to me. I'm always looking at the vision. Where's the vision going? Who are the key people who are going to move this vision here?
Right.
So if we are looking at your key people that help move that vision forward, that also is showing any vulnerabilities within your organization. So you want to always be planning for strength, not weaknesses. So you look at your weaknesses, you see what's going on and say, hey, this department has some key people. You know, what happens if, should we start bringing in somebody one tier down and start grooming them? Because if it's a key component, that's also a key role in expanding your and scaling your organization.
Right. Right. So, and then we had a couple of topics that we had planned on talking about, but two of them kind of really fill into an area that, again, I'm looking at process within our business. I'm looking at workflows. I'm looking at, all the HR processes, et cetera.
Yep.
Really what it comes down to and always kind of has for me is that I feel like we built a foundation, keyword foundation. We built a foundation for, you know, an SMB, a small business, privately held, you know, X number of clients doing X kinds of services, et cetera. Maybe that foundation was stronger in areas and weaker in others, et cetera. But as you look at scaling now, because I know that that's one of your main areas of focus is helping companies scale. It's like, we've got to rebuild the entire foundation. I mean, there's key, you know, foundation points, et cetera, which, you know, we're both trained business coaches, right? So, and executive coaches. So it comes back to vision and mission and, you know, and having everybody on the same page. So, you know, those have deep roots. Right. We haven't brought anybody on that doesn't buy into the mission. Right. So and because of the mission, we don't really attract clients that don't have that can't coexist with that. And where it's not that mission's not of service. So those are deep foundational roots. But it's a whole different foundation that you need to build when you're scaling. Can we talk about that a little bit? You know, I know that you have something that you say, the four components of a business.
So I think a business is built. If we think about building a house, we think about building a building, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing you do is when you build a building is you put in the foundation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the four corners. What does a business need? What are the foundational components?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You need a strong financial plan. Okay. I have a belief that numbers tell a story. Not enough people are reading the book. Okay.
Yep.
When you look at the number story, you look at it objectively. What is working? What is not? You want a strong financial plan. You want what you referenced before, HR team, right? What is your team plan? What is the structure? What's your growth structure? What are the key components? What does the organization need today, when you look forward, you know, 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, 5 years, what will that look like? And then you look forward and then you build to get there. So you want a strong team foundation, HR people.
Yep.
Marketing and sales. It's two sides of the same quarter. Okay. I spent over 20 years selling to marketing and sales departments as a printer.
Right.
I know enough to be dangerous as well, what I'll say. I'm not a chief marketing officer by any means. Okay. And marketing and sales go hand in hand, yet as companies get larger, there are two different departments, right? You have a sales manager, you have a CMO. So you want to be looking at them working together as well as independently, right? What is working in your marketing? What is not working in your marketing? What is working in your sales? What is not working? What training and development do you need? Where do you see your levels of improvement? Okay. So those four pieces are your foundation that you can build from. There'll be many other components that you'll add in. You know, you're going to add in your, you know, your laundry rooms and your washrooms, and you're going to add in, you know, your offices or your bedrooms or whatever the building is you're building. You're going to add in your amenities, all those wonderful things. But without those four foundation pieces, something is going to topple, right? Those are your four pillars that keep that building going strong. So you always want to be looking at those four pillars. I also think, you know, when I think about amenities, I think about the leader and their mindset. Are they staying in their vision? Are they working on their vision? Are they doing the inner work for leadership and their own inner development that will build the organization, and you will grow with it to lead it versus you will grow out of it and end up not leading it?
All of this brings, so absolutely true. All areas that we're working on ourselves. And one of the things that is, it keeps coming up. And when something keeps coming up, you gotta think, right, for a moment. Okay, well, maybe I should pay a little bit more attention to this. And that is the concept of working in the business versus on the business.
That's right.
Right? Because for better or for worse, I have been deeply embedded in the business for, you know, since our inception, 15 years. And I'm finding myself, and I can't seem to do it during business hours, but I'm finding myself in the evenings, instead of doing whatever I might be doing or watching television or researching, you know, on YouTube or whatever it is that I might be doing, I'm taking the time to think.
Yeah.
And I'm reading, and I'm listening to, and I'm engaging with thought leaders in marketing, in why are we doing all this in the first place, in management. I've studied leadership extensively for years, but I haven't recently, and until very recently. So it's like I'm, you know, revisiting, okay, who do I need to be as a leader other than just a visionary, right? So
Mark, I'm gonna jump in for a second. I learned a lesson. I was 14 years old, and I learned this lesson. I was actually in ballet camp for the summer, and I had a Russian. That summer, I studied under a Russian and a French ballet teachers.
Okay.
One of them had a stick. I mean, you never saw it coming.
Oh.
Be that as it may. I'm in this class with this Russian ballet teachers, and we're all 14, and our hairs are back in buns, and we're all, you know, when we're doing so well, and we're so excited with ourselves, and we did this little routine. And he stood in front of the classroom, and he was 60 some odd years old, and he can outperform any of us.
Wow.
And he stood there with his arms crossed. He goes, "You ladies think you've learned so much and you're so good, don't you?" And we're like preening. I'm like, "Yes, we are. We're so great. We've learned so much. Did you see what we did?" And he goes, "If you really want to get good." And we're like, yeah. He goes, "Go back and take a beginner ballet class." And he goes, "And do that every so often." He goes, "Because that's your foundation." And Mark, I've taken that lesson forward. I know every time I grow, I want to go back to foundation. Every time I grow, every time the company grows, we want to go back and check our foundation.
Right.
Because it's in the foundation that enables us to add another story and another story and another story to our building, right?
Right.
If we don't have that strong foundation, we could only go so high. If we built that foundation for growth. So you're right. You know, I'm this year, you know, I started this journey in the fourth quarter of last year. I said, you know what? I am going to revisit some things that I haven't done in a long, long time. And I started writing again every morning and every night. And this has nothing to do with the next book coming out. This is about visioning and working on my inner self. And I meditate every day. And, you know, and I move my body. I believe, you know, to me, in movement, my body grows, right? Hopefully not out, but it continues to build strength, right? And it's from that grounded place, like as the old dancer in me, mm-hmm. you know, or anybody who's listened to ever taken a Pilates class, right? Or taken any exercise, you know, your core is what holds your body. If you're not working your core, right? Your back, you can get a bad back. You're right. Have you worked your core? Whatever it is, business is the same. As a leader, we have to work our core, our foundation.
Right.
As leaders, or we don't have anything to pass to our people.
Yeah, and we get so wrapped up into the day-to-day
correct
functions and operations that we literally can't see the forest for the trees anymore.
You get wrapped up in our to-do list. Our to-do lists are our trees, right? Yeah. We're in our trees. We're in our to-do list. You know, oh my goodness, we can get a project management system. And now we can have lists upon lists of foundations in our, and it can get built out. And do you know how many hours we could spend on doing that? And by the way, I'm a fan of it. Yet, I'm not a fan of getting so wrapped up in it that you don't stay and see and consistently working on the forest. And seeing the forest and where is the forest growing and building and what are you planting there to grow with the trees?
Yep. Boy, we're just zooming right in on where I'm at.
So is this podcast for you?
I think that it is, honestly. And you know how the saying goes, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yeah.
And we teach ourselves and we learn from each other, right? So and we're self-sponsored and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but you know, one of the things about video socials that was so pivotal for me, because up until that point, we were working with a lot of clients, helping them do their marketing, right? And you know, this was phone barter. Call them up, interview them for 10 minutes. We get the article out and get it done for them, right? So instead of somebody spending hours grooving over what takes 5 minutes to read and editing, et cetera, et cetera. So unique concept, unique idea, works well, still works. We wanted to get into video, but we had always tried and failed to create a community out of those clients. So that they were not only learning from us or getting the services from us and seeing us as a service provider, but to create a community between themselves so that they're not looking at each other necessarily as competitors or, well, they're not really in my industry, so there's not much I can learn, you know, from them, et cetera. Because cross promotion and being able to lean into each other's networks, et cetera, is huge. And so when we created Video Socials, it was literally, and the name of it is actually Vic's brainchild, you know, Video Socials, because it is exactly that. We are creating these, you know, 2-3 minute videos and now shorts and reels, et cetera, less than a minute. But having people get on doing something that they either wouldn't do because you're not going to do it on your own. Or if you are trying to do it on your own, you're talking to an inanimate object instead of talking to an audience, talking to people. And you're doing it in a vacuum, right? So in the vacuum of our own minds of what we think we're saying, what we think how it's landing, et cetera. And so we said, let's take my Toastmasters experience from 35, 40 years ago and let's get together as a peer group of people and let's create this experiential program where we learn by doing rather than having to, you know, go through an intellectual exercise of how to speak and how to present yourself, et cetera, et cetera. And let's just have a conversation and let's start practicing and let's start learning. And, you know, fast forward now 5 years and the community that has been built out of that is nothing short of inspiring. And it is them. It is, and I'm a part of it. But you know, call me a shepherd, whatever you want. But I'm learning perpetually, and I've seen thousands and thousands of videos being created by hundreds of people, and it's done nothing but enrich me. And I turn around and share whatever I'm learning with the rest, and we're and that's it's like a synergy doesn't do it justice.
Well, I think when you know one of the things that that you're saying that I agree 1,000% on is every leader should build a community of leaders. You know, we should be part of and build a community of leaders. I don't care what you call it. I don't care if it's peer groups or masterminds or this or Vistage versus this, 1,000 other things. I don't care what you call it.
Right.
You know, I have a community of leaders, you know, that I could pick up the phone at any time and say, hey, working on something, love your input.
Right.
You know, have that community that is a moment away. Mm-hmm. I mean, my core community, they all knew about my granddaughter coming, right? They all knew.
Right.
They're like, hey, send a picture, right? Because we support each other through, I'm going through the, you know, somebody lost, you know, like a sister. What can we do to help, right? What can we do to help? Because all of a sudden they need to, if your business is not huge, your community helps you think about those next action steps when you get stuck.
Right.
And you have that trusted advisors. And one way or another, whether you're working with a coach consultant, whether you're working with a small group, whatever, but you should have a trusted advisor as a leader of somebody that you can go to and be real.
Right.
Not where you have your leadership role on, but that you could just be a human being that is dealing with this, that, or the other thing and have that person to talk with. Because through that conversation is where your brilliance can absolutely fly.
And theirs.
Exactly.
And theirs. It's the back and forth, the give and take, whatever you want to call it, but it operates at a deeper level. It's like, you know, your community knew that you had a grandchild on the way, right? So that's personal. That's, you know, that has nothing to do with business, but that is the ties that bind, right? It is us seeing ourselves and being with each other at that personal level. It's matters of the heart, right? Thank you for the concept of building a community of leaders, because I hadn't really looked at it from that context before. And I think that's a very apt definition of what we're creating, what we have created and is expanding. But we could go on for quite a bit longer.
And I can probably sit and chat for about a half a day easily.
Yeah, without question. So there'll be links for all this below, folks, so you don't have to memorize it, but SlaterSuccess.com, by the way, at SlaterSuccess, is also, has access to your podcast, which is, you know, all the various platforms, but you know, SlaterSuccess.com has got a great jumping off point for that, for whatever service that you use to consume podcasts. You're on LinkedIn, Ivy Slater. You're on YouTube, Slater Graph 1. Again, links below. Facebook, Slater Success Coaching. Instagram, Ivy Slater SC. Your book is at bartoboardroombook.com. Bar spelled B-A-R-R-E. Like the bar that you use when you're
dancing or when you go to a bar class.
Yep. Yep.
To work your core.
Absolute pleasure to meet with you, to have this conversation, and I hope that it's valuable for both your audience and for my audience.
Mark, and, thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun to do together.
Absolutely. And thank you, folks. Stick around for just a moment, and please do subscribe and pay attention. This is just one of many of some great conversations that I try to have with people who inspire me and inspire others. All the best.
You've been listening to Inspiring Business with your host, Mark Bullock. Your positive comments, likes, and most importantly, your sharing of this show with others is greatly appreciated. Don't forget to subscribe to the Inspiring Business Podcast on whatever platform you prefer. You can catch prior episodes on videosocials.net and on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and all the major podcast